Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hi, this is Dr. Andy Barlow with the Chiropractic Physician Center of Tupelo and author of the number one best-selling book, The Codebreaker. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then call my office at 662-844-1414 and order my new book, The Codebreaker.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Thursday. We'll call it Thursday. It's not being recorded on Thursday, but we're going to call it Thursday. To the Rebel Report, my name is Michael Borky. I'm really glad to see all of you, to hear from all of you, as I do sometimes, by the way. If you want to reach out to me, if you want to talk, whatever, if you got questions, shoot me a DM, shoot me an email, wherever. You know, my email is in my Twitter bio. But I would love to hear some feedback from you guys. The one thing I hate about podcasting is it's not live and I can't hear from you guys. So if you ever feel like just, you know, if you got an Ole Miss question, whatever it may be, just I'm approachable. Send me whatever questions, comments, feedback, good or bad. If you got some bad feedback, why not send it to me? I'd love to hear from you. Seriously, because some of you do, and I appreciate that. So anyway, enough wasting time. A couple of things I've got for you today. We're still on Jackson Dart Watch. I'm kind of exhausted. I'm done talking about it. Talked about it on the radio. Talked about it on live streams. Talked about it here. They've lost my attention. When they, if they do commit somewhere at some point, he and Trigg both, we'll talk about it, of course. And if they do go to Ole Miss, it is a big deal because they're two really talented guys. But in terms of talking about it on a daily basis, you lost me. My attention span is short. Ted Lasso, like a goldfish, and I'm done with that. So whenever it happens, we'll bring you something, but I'm not going to talk about it on a daily basis anymore. They have lost me. In the meantime, a couple of things I want to bring to you. First, a very unique NIL thing is coming to every Ole Miss athlete. And also, after that, this is not my interview. This is my coworker's interview. This was Richard Cross, sat down one-on-one with Keith Carter. And it's something you're going to want to hear. It's about 35 minutes worth of one-on-one interview with the two of them. And I hate to give credit to Richard, but he's really good at this, and it's a really good interview. And he asks about Lane Kiffin's contract and him being out there for other jobs. You know, you get some diplomatic answers from Keith, but he also talks about NIL and the new facilities project and the renderings that are out there and stuff like that. It's really good. It's like 35 minutes one-on-one with Keith. You're going to want to hear it. And so I'll put that at the end of this as well. But first, let's talk about this NIL thing that is happening. And there is a group, by the way, and this isn't what I'm talking about, but there's a group out there that is doing the NIL thing very right when it comes to Ole Miss. You've seen NIL funds or collectives or whatever at other places that if the NCAA wanted to, and I think they do want to, can really hammer, because it's not, you know, it's not NIL. It's just, it's a slush fund is all it is. And the group that, and there's a lot of groups working on NIL around Ole Miss, but this one in particular that I've been hearing about that is kind of out there now, they've started doing outreach and stuff, has been put together by very smart people that are doing it the right way, covering all their bases, dotting their T's and crossing their I's, if you will, doing it the right way. And that's why it's taken a little bit longer. But what they're going to be able to do is do it, again, the right way, and will hold up under any NCAA scrutiny. And I want to talk to somebody, and I've been working on trying to track somebody down from that group to talk about that with you. So it will actually be me doing the interview, so you don't have to deal with hearing Richard, despite him being very good at interviews. you know, I will bring that to you at some point. That's not what I'm talking about here, though. That's a very good thing, and you should feel good about the people involved and what they're doing and how they're doing it. More importantly, how they're making Ole Miss competitive in the NIL front, the right way, at least where all the bases are covered. This is a little bit different, and this is fascinating, and it's very unique. The Oxford Lafayette County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Foundation are in the works. They started leaking the documents or whatever yesterday. I guess it was yesterday. We talked about it on the radio show on Wednesday. I'm getting my days all backwards. Either way, they are working on and are finalizing an NIL partnership that will give an equal amount of money to all Ole Miss student athletes. And there will be other opportunities for some to make more, or some local businesses to be involved with a particular sport or whatever. But at the baseline, they are working on an NIL partnership that would give essentially a monthly amount to every athlete, every scholarship athlete, I believe, on the Ole Miss campus. They will contain three, or the fund will contain three different sectors. One will just be overall, like I mentioned. Then there will be the team directed, and then player directed. So the money itself, the fund, will come from businesses and individuals that are part of the Chamber of Commerce. So this is not the city of Oxford, paying Ole Miss athletes. This is businesses involved in the Chamber of Commerce. And of course, the athletes will have to do something. They will do, whether it be providing mentorships or internships, they have to do something. They have to provide a service of some kind in order to get this money. So the athletes have to opt in. I suppose if an athlete really doesn't feel like doing anything, they can not do that and not get the money. And the dollar amounts that are being thrown out there aren't really a whole lot per month. But it's, when you put it all together, it is a significant amount. Any amount of money is a significant amount, especially when it's blanket for all athletes. And you're looking at, on an annual basis, a four-figure dollar amount that's spread out in monthly installments, at least at its core. That's significant. And on the radio show yesterday, I said it there, so if you listen to it, forgive me for being repetitive. These are the kind of things that need to happen at a place like Ole Miss for it to be competitive. Now, I imagine that once this gets out there, I'm sure Starkville is going to start working on something like this soon, and Tuscaloosa will, and all that. But for right now, as far as I know, this is unique to Ole Miss. And these are the kind of things that you have to continue to do if you want to be nationally competitive. You guys know this by now. It's a small state population-wise. It's a rural state. There's not many huge businesses here. It's tough to be competitive for Ole Miss, and Mississippi State for that matter, against other states and programs that have more money and resources. So what you have to do is be innovative and creative. And stuff like this, where the Chamber of Commerce, who, by the way, I guess they really understand that their biggest economic driver is Ole Miss athletics, no doubt. So it makes sense for them to reward the people that are rewarding them, right? But these are the kind of things that have to happen. You have to be innovative and creative and unique and different and efficient. And this kind of thing that is coming to Ole Miss athletes is another example of that kind of forward-thinking mentality that you have to have if you're going to be nationally competitive. Ole Miss has to have stuff like this. They have to. And this is a good step forward. So kudos to the people involved getting this done. It makes sense for all parties between this and the Alston ruling? I think is what it's called, where Ole Miss athletes were the first to get very significant sums of money that the school can provide for. It was allowed based on a court ruling, and Ole Miss was the first to give their athletes a very significant sum of money. So between that and cost of attendance and now this, I mean, you're looking at thousands of extra dollars a year that Ole Miss athletes are getting that are not available everywhere. So shout out to the people involved in this. If you want to be competitive nationally, you have to be creative, and this is creative. And so they think that it'll be fully announced sometime this spring and fully operational for when the fall semester begins, and every Ole Miss student athlete will be, if they opt in, will be getting some NIL from the local Chamber of Commerce. So really, really good stuff there. This podcast, though, is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website. If you're in the market for office technology solutions anywhere inside of the state of Mississippi, if you're located here in this state and you need office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security, IT projects, anything in between. If it's technology, if it's in the office, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will work with you absolutely free. Podcast is also brought to you by LB's, just across from Kroger on University Avenue in Oxford. Go by and see Greg and tell him that I sent you, because LB's is the best place in Mississippi to get your meat. If you're in Mississippi and you are in driving distance from Oxford and you want to cook with meat, LB's is the place to do it. They also have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday. So if you don't feel like cooking, they will do the cooking for you. But they're open 7 days a week. So if you're looking for meat, if you're looking to cook with meat, LB's, again, just across from Kroger on University Avenue, right there in Oxford. So here is that interview now. It's Richard Cross and Keith Carter. We played this on the radio show yesterday, but I know there's, you know, the crossover audience is you, all of you don't listen to the radio show and vice versa. So wanted to bring this to you. It's a really good conversation and you want to hear it. They talk Kiffin, they talk contracts, they talk Texas and Oklahoma, they talk NIL, they talk stadium project. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. So I'm going to play that for you here right now. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Michael Borky or YouTube, same name, or Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast while you're here and leave a rating and a review. And here's that interview now, and that will end the podcast. So here's Richard Cross, Keith Carter talking, well, everything right now. So here that is.
Ole Miss Athletics Director Keith Carter joining us on Sports Talk Mississippi, and he says nothing is off limits. We're going no holds barred for, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. Maybe not quite that long. Good to see you as always. Appreciate some of your time. A lot going on. I mean, so you're out of football season. You've kind of gone through the off season. Basketball, baseball is about to start. All the spring sports are about to start. Do you ever get a break?
We got a little break over the holiday, which was nice. But really this spring, and I tell a lot of people this, you know, football and everything in the fall, you know, gets the limelight. But the spring is really the semester where we're the most busy. I mean, you've got so many sports and they're overlapping and so many events. It's tough on our staff, you know, to make events happen and get everything produced and get video boards working and all those things at all the different venues. But it's fun. You know, it's why we do it. And, you know, the weather's about to turn here in a little bit and get pretty, and all these outside sports will be a lot of fun. Yeah, we hope. Exactly.
I'm curious, from the time that you got this job to where you are now, if there has been a moment where you said, yep, this fits. This is where I was supposed to be. I was ready for this. Because before you get your first big job, I mean, you slide into an SEC chair for your first athletics director's job. I mean, I know you believe you're ready, but until you kind of deal with some stuff, have you had that moment?
Well, you know, I think it's probably several moments, you know, over that tenure. You know, I think I had a pretty big moment right away, you know, when we had to make a change with football and do that. And you know, I think when you go into a football search, you know, you hear about that your whole athletics career, like football search. You know, that's the kind of the, you know, the apex of what we do. And, you know, to do that early on was good to get that experience and go through that. But, you know, I think COVID has really shifted a lot of things. You know, for me, I've been dealing with that really almost the whole time. And, you know, I think that now we're finally back to running our athletic department like we should. And, you know, the budget's back where it needs to be and all those things. So I think the last year has really been more of a true test of kind of what it's like to sit in this chair and do it with all the resources that you need and those type of things. But, you know, I love every part of it, and it's challenging. You know, there's things every day that come across my desk that I'm like, holy smokes, you know, how are we going to do this? You know, but great staff here, great people to work with, and we figure it out. But, you know, I kind of look at it that, you know, you never really have that moment where you're like, hey, I've arrived. You know, we got this whole thing figured out, because we're constantly learning. And obviously with college athletics right now, things are changing so much, you know, so many big ticket things that are changing our world, that I think we've got to continue to, you know, embrace that change.
Not to make it political, the virus is still a thing. There may be more variants in the future. It's something that we're going to have to deal with. But it feels like as a conference, not just as a school, but as a conference, the SEC has said, we're playing. Like, we can't go back and shut things down. We've got to just live with this. Is that a fair summation of kind of the league stance at this point?
I think so. You know, and our league has done a fantastic job. I mean, obviously, first movers that, hey, we're going to play football and do all those things, even back when others were saying that they were not going to. And the medical task force, you know, Dr. Crowther, who represented Ole Miss, and all the others have done just an awesome job of keeping people safe and making sure that we're doing the right things. But it definitely does feel like there's a shift towards, hey, we've got to figure this thing out. We've got to move forward. Obviously, you know, right now we're in a period where these cases are higher than they've ever been. But I think once it goes down, I do get a sense that people feel like we've got to we got to start using some common sense. We've got to start moving forward and certainly take care of the ones that get sick and make sure we're doing that. And all of our student athletes are we'll make sure they have those resources. But at the same time, you know, it's time to move on and make sure that, you know, we're able to play the games and do what these student athletes love to do.
You said a lot of big ticket items in college athletics, and I don't think you were necessarily talking specifically about money, but huge like agenda items. Looks like we've had to kind of kick down the road a little farther, expansion of the college football playoff. Can you, as either an athletics director or a fan or somebody with a functioning brain, understand what happened and why it happened beyond us just looking at it going, there's some guys that got their feelings hurt and they said, no, we're taking our ball and going home?
I could give you this long answer probably and try to, you know, get specific on a lot, but I think you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, this is going to come down to everybody's not going to get what they want, you know, and I think that when the playoff went to four games, you know, several years ago, everybody got in that room and they realized, hey, we're not going to get everything we want, but this is better for our sport, and we got it done. And so, you know, you think about the SEC, I mean, obviously two teams in the playoff this year won a national championship. But if you're Ole Miss, you know, if you have 12 teams this year, you make it, you know. And so there's some things there that, you know, we'd love to see happen. And it gives maybe a school like Ole Miss an opportunity to participate a little more often. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I wouldn't – there's nobody else I'd rather have in that room than Greg Sankey, you know, working for us and making sure that the best interests of the SEC are at hand. So I think we'll get there eventually, but, you know, it's going to have to take a little time to get there.
Greg Sankey doesn't usually say things accidentally. I think most of what he says is pretty well thought out. And yet his tenor and kind of his tone has changed pretty dramatically in the last 6 months to a year. Is he just fed up with it? And he's like, I don't care anymore. I'm going to say what I think. Is he trying to send a message? Have you noticed what I'm talking about, kind of the shift in the way he says some of the things that he says?
Yeah, and I agree with you. Greg is very calculated. And I think for him, you know, he to go down the road of 12 teams, I think, you know, or an expansion in general, you know, he's worked really hard at that. And then all of a sudden you get in the room and people can't agree on things. And, you know, for him, he's like, hey, like I said, four's working for the SEC. Like, we don't have to make this change. And so I think for him, you know, the SEC has some leverage. You know, we have some – obviously, we're a big voice in that room. And for him, and again, I love the fact that he's going to stand up. He's not going to – he understands that we may have to make some concessions in different places, but at the same time, he puts the best interests of our league, you know, first.
What did you make of the comments that he had a couple of weeks ago when this thing kind of fell apart at the end, where he said, don't just assume that we're going to come back to the table – if there's a tipping point down the line, meaning when the current contract ends and it's like, okay, now we got to do a deal, don't just assume that we're going to be on board with whatever you think needs to happen then.
Yeah, again, I think that's just Greg saying, hey, we're not in a bad spot where we are. You know, I mean, we can have an opportunity to keep rolling, and if we want to have a conversation, maybe we will, but maybe we won't, you know. And so,
I mean, do you think that was as much a threat about, look, we're going to be big and strong, and we're going to have two more teams then, and if we want to just step away and do our own thing, we might do that?
Well, possibly.
Was that a shot across the bow there?
Possibly, yeah. You know, because I do think that, man, what a changing landscape we have in the NCAA right now. You know, just overall. I mean, we had the convention last week, voted on a new constitution. We'll see how it all works. You know, I've got some reservations about how it might work, but we know we need change at a national level, and it all trickles down to, you know, to football and what you're doing in different sports. And you know, could I see something happening at some point where, whether it's the SEC or the Power Five or whatever, breaking away? Who knows? You know, I mean, something like that could happen, and who knows what that means for the playoff at that point. So, again, that's where I said the big ticket items. I mean, there's some really heavy things right now that are happening in college athletics that could, you know, really maybe change the landscape of what we're doing more than anything in the past 40, you know, 30 or 40 years.
All right, so part of the new constitution that you guys voted on theoretically gives different levels of college athletics the ability to kind of create their own rules. I know that there are other sports that are involved, but in the state of Mississippi, it's such a big deal. Are we trending toward baseball having more than 11.7 scholarships, whether that's 20 or 25 or 27 or whatever?
I'd love to see it. I don't know what that process exactly looks like, you know, how long it would take to get something like that done. But, I've always said that that was not the right place to be. And, you know, just to be the answer to a math problem, you know, this is how many scholarships you get because of the math problem. It just doesn't make sense. And so, you know, to me, I think that, you know, a lot of our equivalency sports, not just baseball, you know, need more opportunities for young people. And, you know, it's forcing young people to do other things. And, you know, if you're a good baseball player or a good track athlete, you know, you need to be supported and have the resources that you need. So, even though it's probably going to cost us a little more money in the long run, but I would be all for that, giving student athletes more opportunities.
Title IX obviously is incredibly important because of the role that it plays, but I've always wondered or argued for why not take football out of the equation? Say, we all understand that football pays the bills everywhere. Let's pull it out of the formula, out of the equation, and then just match scholarships one for one in every other sport. What would be the opposition to that?
Sounds very rational. Sometimes we don't always work that way in college athletics. You take football out of the equation, it's much easier to make things match up.
85 scholarships.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, you take that out of the equation, it's very easy to match up baseball and softball and men's and women's tennis and, you know, those type of things. So, I think anything's on the table, Richard, honestly. You know, I think that they're the thought leaders in our industry right now are willing to put anything on the table. And I think that this is kind of that crossroads moment where, you know, we're going to look back in 2 or 3 years and say, we had a great opportunity there. Hopefully we get it right. Hopefully we're able to fix some things long term. And, now's the time to do that.
Going to take a quick time out in our conversation with Keith Carter, Athletics Director at Ole Miss. You're listening to Sports Talk Mississippi, streaming at supertalk.fm and supertalktv.com. Continuing our conversation with Keith Carter, when are Texas and Oklahoma coming?
The commissioner has been very clear to tell us July 1, 2025. So, I think that's, in my opinion, that's likely when it's going to happen.
I say it feels more and more likely, doesn't it, because of the just insane cost for those two schools to leave the Big 12 early?
Yeah, and you know, what I'm hearing is that, you know, obviously the Big 12 doesn't really have an appetite to let them out of any of those obligations. So, it'll be interesting. Who knows? It could happen. I know we're all obviously already working with, those ADs on scheduling, future scheduling, those type of things. So there's discussions happening there. But
that's an awfully good jumping off point you just kind of led us into.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those deals where we obviously have to plan, and we have to, you know, the plan now is for that season after they join us, and if it happened before that, then we'd have to adjust. But there's a lot of moving parts. I mean, obviously football scheduling, but scheduling across the board with all of our sports and what that looks like and adding two teams. So a lot of discussions around those things happening right now.
All right, so July 1, 2025, Texas OU become part of the league. Season kicks off, let's just say September 1st. How many conference games?
I don't know. There's a lot of discussion around that. I think you're looking at 8 or 9. I mean, we obviously have 8 now, but I don't think you go to 10. We had 10 games last year, and I think all the fans love that, and TV love that, and all those things. I'm not sure the players and the coaches love that as much.
Well, the coaches are making 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 million dollars a year, so they can just kind of get over it.
All right, we'll move on from that. Don't totally disagree, but I think that
deal with it.
Well, and you do think about student athletes, though. I mean, especially if you're talking about an extended playoff potentially and those type of things, and you're looking at teams that can play 16, 17 games in a year potentially if they play in their conference championship game. So that's a lot of football in one calendar year.
Yeah.
So you got to put all of that in the equation, but I think that I'm really, to me, when Oklahoma and Texas, we found out they were going to be in the league, the best thing for me was the fact that we were going to have this scheduling conversation. Because to me, I don't like our current model. I don't like the fact that we go to Florida once every 12 years and they come here once every 12 years. It's not a good model. And student athletes don't get to play. Fans don't get to see them, those type of things. So to me, the frequency of which we rotate is a really exciting thing to talk about. And hopefully we can figure out a way where we're playing home and away every 4 or 5 years with each school, which would be really neat.
Pods or divisions?
I don't love the pods, honestly. I just don't. I think there's a better way to do it. I'm not sure you need divisions. You could just have one overall schedule, you know, and to me, it's all about, you're going to probably need.
Do you put permanents on if you have just 1 through 16?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, obviously, we would always want to make sure Mississippi State is a permanent, and I think they feel the same way. That's a rivalry we want to continue and make sure we're playing every year. And then maybe add one more or two more. You don't have to necessarily, but to me, it's about the rotation. We just want to make sure that teams are rotating through Oxford, and we're going to Norman, and we're going to Gainesville, and all those things on a regular basis. You want to find a fair way to do that so that, you know, you're not overloaded every year.
So that would be like a de facto scheduling pod, but not a pod for the sake of determining league championships.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, depending on how many permanents you had, you could kind of look at it as a pod in some ways. But you know, to me, I think it's a great opportunity for us to get this right. Having, you know, the two new teams in will make it very attractive for season ticket holders, and again, for student athletes. At the end of the day, you know, I want to make sure that they're playing all the teams. You know, and who knows? It's not a bad thing if Alabama's not on the schedule every year, right? It's not a terrible thing.
Some would argue it's not a terrible thing. Visiting with Keith Carter, athletics director at Ole Miss. You had a kind of an interesting off-season, is not the word, but basically from the end of football season through the national championship game, Lane Kiffin's name was in a lot of different places. I don't know how real all of that stuff was. But in terms of you doing your job, working through a contract extension, fielding questions from fans, maybe assistant coaches about the future, what'd you learn?
Well, you know, I learned a lot. And you know, we knew when we hired Coach Kiffin that this was going to probably be an annual thing. You know, his name is a big name. It carries a lot of weight nationally. You know, whether it's true or not true, he's involved in every search that's out there, you know, and so you gotta be prepared for that. You know, we actually started early in the process, like mid-October, talking to him and his representation about a contract extension, and they were awesome. They were great, and we worked through it and eventually got there. But I think being proactive on that helped, and you know, we had to work through, you know, some things, and we got there. But you know, this was a big off season, you know, as far as the silly season and the coaching carousel. I mean, you think about, you know, USC fires their coach in what, week two or week three, and LSU fires a coach in the middle of the season. Florida does the same. You know, these schools are getting ahead of that now. Used to be that, you know, that Sunday after the last game, you know, after Thanksgiving, all these coaches get fired, but now people are really getting in the market early because of the early signing period and making sure they have a coach on hand for that, you know, for that process. So it was kind of nonstop, really, from the beginning of the season. You know, even in our specific situation, USC and Lane's history there, you know, there's already speculation in week three that, you know, he's a candidate for that job and those type of things. So, you know, Lane and I have a great relationship. We communicate very well. And, you know, we were in lockstep the whole way and on the same page. And it just took a little time to hammer it out. But, you know, those are interesting times, and, you know, a lot of information out there that you kind of just have to, you know, pass on and not worry about, because everybody's got a source. Everybody's got, you know, so many different things going. But it worked out well, and obviously couldn't be happier to have Coach Kiffin locked up.
What's your level of concern about the amount of turnover on his staff?
Well, you know, it's a lot. I mean, you know, I think there's only two coaches remaining from the original staff 2 years ago. But it's, you know, I think that's part of it. When you have success, you know, people are going to say, hey, how are they doing that? And they're going to come and look at your coaches and those type of things. And I think this year, you know, we had some unique circumstances with some of the guys that left, you know, guys that went back to their alma mater, or guys that went to an opportunity that, you know, maybe they just felt like they couldn't pass up and those type of things. So, you know, I do think the mark of a great coach, though, is being that CEO and figuring that out. You know, you look at what Coach Saban's done over the years and all the turnover he's had, and he always seems to find that next group of great coaches. And, you know, I think Lane's done a good job of filling positions, and, you know, hopefully that'll work out for us as well.
So we're trending toward baseball season. Ole Miss baseball fans are vocal. You've had to deal with that with Mike Bianco in the past. basketball maybe is not going as well as some people would like, and so social media message board communities, and I know that's not exactly real life, but it is a vocal minority, start talking about, oh, you got to make a change here in basketball, or you got to make a change in baseball. How do you look and judge and decide, yes, what those people who may or may not have their names attached to it are saying is valid and it's important, or there's some people that just aren't going to be happy, period. I got to look at this differently.
Well, before I answer that, you mentioned basketball, and I'm assuming you're talking about men's basketball, but our women's basketball team, 17-2, ranked for the first time since 2007, huge matchup against South Carolina coming up. So, to clarify, the women's basketball team rolling pretty good right now.
Yeah.
You know, men's basketball, and Kermit would tell you this, not to the standard that, you know, that he wants, and obviously tons of injuries and so many factors that have, you know, played into this season, and you know, love the win against Florida, and hopefully we can get it rolling. You know, to me, I try to take all that with a grain of salt, Richard, because I'm not a guy who's going to make a – unless a coach does something that's egregious, that's – you know, breaks a law or something, you know, something where we have to make a change immediately. I'm never going to be that guy that's going to make a snap judgment because we've lost a few games or, you know, those type of things. We get to the end of the season, we'll evaluate the season, see what we need to do. But, you know, people in this social media age, they, you know, they got it at their fingertips, and, you know, we have a bad game or a bad stretch in a game. You know, I can't tell you how many tweets and different things, emails I get, you know, in the third inning of a baseball game. You know, somebody hits a three-run homer and we're down 3-0 and, you know, got to make a change or, you know, whatever. You know, use baseball, but in basketball or whatever. And, you know, you just have to realize that, you know, you got to stay level-headed on that. We've got great coaches. We got coaches that put in the time and the effort, and they know their teams better than I do, better than the fans do, and, you know, those type of things. So, you know, I'll never be the person that's going to, you know, we lose a game on a Tuesday night and we're making a change on Wednesday, because that's just not how this business works for me. So I try to read some of that stuff and then again just let it pass and try to evaluate and do the best we can, you know, by season's end.
Sports Talk Mississippi, streaming at supertalk.fm and supertalktv.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and we'll wrap up our conversation with Keith Carter, athletics director at Ole Miss. Sports Talk Mississippi, streaming at supertalk.fm, supertalktv.com. This capital campaign that you announced officially in New Orleans around the Sugar Bowl, it was talked about for months before that, $400-ish million, certainly is a big number and covers a lot of ground. There are people that would say spending money on anything other than football is money that is not well spent. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would disagree with that. You know, certainly, and we all knew this before, and we learned this even more during COVID, football is very, very important, obviously. We need to sell out the stadium. We need to do all those things, and it drives so many different revenue streams that trickle down to other sports and other programs. So we're never going to stop supporting football at a super high level. But at the same time, we want to have a complete athletics department. You know, we finished number 22 last year in the Learfield Director's Cup, which is our highest ranking we've ever finished, and that's great. I mean, to me, that's the mark of a well-rounded athletic department. And so while we'll continue to push football, and obviously there's some huge components for football in this campaign, you know, we've got to do something for softball. We've got to do something for soccer. Those venues have not been touched, you know, in a large way in 15 or 20 years. And so we've got to go over there and do some things. You know, golf, we won a national championship. We've got to continue that progress, and so we're excited about that. But, you know, I think that it's, you know, the mark of a good athletic department is certainly you want to have great football. If you're in the Southeast and in the Southeastern Conference, you want to have great football, and we will and do. But at the same time, you know, we've got to be complete, and we've got to make sure that we're giving the resources to coaches and student athletes and other sports as well.
What about baseball specifically? You've invested a lot of money into Swayze Field, and yet, like, there's kind of always another project on the horizon. How much can you continue to invest in baseball, which has become, I guess, a profitable sport, but not a revenue generator in the way that a football or a basketball is?
Right. Yeah. You know, we're one of maybe 10 or so departments in the country that are cash flow positive on baseball, which is, that's like making a huge profit because most schools are spending a lot of money there and with no return. So, that's a credit to what Coach B has built here over 20 years. And, all the things that we have in the stadium now are fantastic. But, you always want to continue to get better. And, I think for us, it all kind of started with the fact that we love what we have out in right and left field with the students section, and then obviously what our folks have, on the left field terraces there. But we wanted that to get better. That was where this whole thing started. How do we improve on that? We got so many requests there in left field for how can we get in there? How do we get space in there? And we're sold out. There's no place to put people. And so, bringing those all the way into the fence on both sides, creating more space. And, that's the thing. A lot of people say, hey, we don't want to change any of that. Well, we sure don't. We don't want to change any of that, but we want to make more and we want to make it better. And so as we started talking, there's some components to it that, I think are going to be really neat. The indoor facility out in right field is really kind of something I noticed when we were at Arkansas in 2019. For the super regional, they have a full indoor infield that's turf. You can drop down the nets, you can have a simulated game there, all of that, and I think it'll just be a huge resource not only for baseball, but the facility can also be utilized by softball and other sports as well when inclement weather and those type of things. So I think that'll be great. But baseball is a sport here that people love. It's a sport that people pay attention to, and we want to make sure that we're continuing to build that facility, not only for the student athletes and letting them grow and develop, but also for our fans and making sure that they're having a great time as well.
So I don't know that you ever get to a point where on a Tuesday or Wednesday when it's 50 degrees outside, there are 8,000 people there for a night game in mid-March. But obviously on the weekends, it has turned into an incredible event. And the season ticket numbers back it up. You're closing in on 8,000 season tickets. If you continue to create more opportunities for fans, whether it's with suites in the outfield, right field, left field, more premium areas, more seats, can that season ticket number continue to grow? I mean, is there a cap on what baseball season tickets can be, or can it go from 8,000 to 12,000? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it could. This year, unfortunately, we had to turn away about 200 season ticket, people that requested season tickets. And so, I think if it can continue to grow, we give the opportunities for people to have, seating and premium areas and those type of things. I think it can. Now, I don't know if we can get to 12,000, but we could sure go from 8,000 to 9,000 pretty quick and 10,000. So, I think that's something that, we want to continue to study and make sure that we're the value that we're putting in, we're receiving the value back and all of those things. But at the same time, you talk about that atmosphere, on a beautiful April Saturday. It's hard to beat. It's one of the best things we do here at Ole Miss. And so I think we can continue to grow that if we continue to put the resources in.
Do the left field and right field areas for fans and for students actually get bigger with what you're doing as they come closer to the field, or are they just closer?
No, they get bigger. They get bigger. And again, we haven't hired an architect. Everything that people have seen are just conceptual. And so once we get the architect in at some point and really dive into it, we'll have obviously more information. But again, we don't want to lessen what's happening out there. We love the atmosphere. We just want to make more of it and maybe even bolster it in some ways to where we can add more people, give more opportunities for fans to be out there and enjoy it. But yeah, I think it's gonna make it bigger and better.
Two things for you: one baseball related, and then one I want to hit on NIL before we wrap up. Do you want to weigh in on the right field tent controversy? Like, there were people that saw a picture of a tent premium area in progress that lost their minds.
Yeah, I think we're a little jaded after the student section tents.
Those were terrible.
Those were bad. Those were really bad. We got them out of there. but this one, and it's unfortunate, Richard. What we're trying to do out there is really gauge interest for the future long term project. Coming off of that indoor facility that I mentioned, we're hoping to have some premium aspects out there behind the student section, which are going to be really awesome. But this one, we just want to kind of gauge interest. And unfortunately, I think some pictures got out there. It was maybe 40-50% finished when the pictures got out there. It's going to be really nice when it's all said and done. The graphics are going to be really cool. And I actually went out there and walked it. I think the people who are buying tickets out there are going to love it. It's a great view right above the student section. church, and so they're going to be right in the middle of all the festivities out there with the showers. So it's going to be good. And again, we're just always looking at ways to enhance our projects and our facilities, give our fans more opportunities. That was really one of the drivers too, is being sold out of season tickets. Where can we put people? You know, where can we add people? And that's been really neat for people to have that opportunity to do that. So bear with us. We're going to get there, and I promise you, on that April Saturday that I mentioned, it's going to look pretty awesome out there when we get that first shower going.
Name, image, likeness, NIL. I mean, an acronym that didn't exist a couple of years ago, and now it exists everywhere you look. It has changed the way recruiting is happening. It certainly has changed the way the transfer portal is operating. It seems like such a big component. It's absolutely on the minds of student athletes. When you sit in your chair and you think NIL and what it means for Ole Miss and how it's working at Ole Miss, where are you?
Well, you know, I've been a proponent from the beginning that NIL could be a good thing. You know, that student athletes deserve every opportunity that a normal student has, and if they're smart enough to come up with some app on their phone that makes money, or go up to the square and do an appearance and make money, why should they not be able to do that? So I'm all for NIL and giving those opportunities to students. You know, I think it's taken a little bit of a different turn, you know, with some of the things that we're seeing. And you know, the other thing I'll mention before I kind of go into it, some of the things you're reading on social media, you know, knowing what to believe and what not to believe, I think there's a lot of bad information about some of these monetary figures and different things that are happening out there. But, you know, I think it all comes back to some of the things, Richard, that we've dealt with in Mississippi for years. I mean, it comes down to resources. It comes down to alumni numbers. It comes down to a lot of those things. And so, you know, we've never had the ability to match up every day with a Texas A&M or an Alabama or a Florida from that perspective, but we've always been able to be more efficient. You know, what John's doing down in Starkville and Jeremy's doing down in Southern Miss, like, it's pretty amazing what we've been able to accomplish relative to some of those obstacles. But, you know, this is going to make that even more. You know, at the end of the day, I think 2 years from now, we're all going to be doing the same thing in NIL. We're all going to know, you know, the best practices, and here's what works and here's what doesn't work. And it's going to come down to resources at that point too. So I don't go to sleep with heartburn, and, you know, my hair's not on fire about NIL. I think it's certainly a very complex challenge that we're going to have to figure out. But at the same time, I welcome that, and I think Ole Miss is doing some really cool things that will put us in a good position to be successful.
So in terms of scholarship student athletes, I mean, if you're on a full scholarship, room, tuition, books, that's all being paid for, which is kind of what we traditionally think. What else are they getting? So if we're talking about a full scholarship women's basketball player, men's basketball player, football player, golfer that happens to be on a full ride, in addition to tuition, room, books, board, meals, nutrition, that stuff, what's going into their pocket?
Well, you know, the cost of attendance was another big issue about 5 years ago that we thought was going to ruin college sports, and, you know, not enough money to go around to do it. And obviously we've all figured that out. That's a little under $5,000 a year if you're a full scholarship student athlete that goes into your pocket.
Semester or a year?
A year.
Okay.
A year. And then, you know, on top of that, we were the first school to implement the Alston ruling, you know, that allowed student athletes to have that opportunity to be compensated for academic awards, and we were the first school to do that. So that's another $6,000 a year that
okay, they were up to $11,000.
That's right, and that's for all student athletes. That's for equivalency, walk-ons, full ride, everyone. So we went and decided to do it for everyone.
Okay.
And then, you know, whatever NIL happens, you know, at that point, obviously you mentioned the unlimited meals. There's, you know, unlimited resources to mental health professionals and, you know, academic professionals and all those things that we've always had. But it's a pretty sweet deal.
So if you're a partial scholarship, I mean, depending on what situation you come from, this can help a lot in terms of what it costs you to go to school, or if your parents are great and they're paying for it, you got money to put in your pocket. But if you're a full scholarship person, you're talking about $11,000 to $15,000 of cash that's going in your pocket as a college student.
That would have been pretty cool to have, right, back in the day. We could have had some fun in Oxford.
Money.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, you're right. And again, I'm all for it. I mean, you know, a lot of times these young men and women, these 4 years are their opportunity to be marketable. It's their opportunity to maybe have some of the best opportunities of their life. They're coming from tough situations. They may go back into a tough situation. Hopefully not. Hopefully we get them a great degree and they can, you know, go get an awesome job and change that cycle. But at the same time, while they're here, I'm all for doing everything we possibly can to help them, give them the opportunity to have a great college experience. And, you know, I remember in college, there were nights when you wanted to, you know, go out on the town, you didn't have any cash, you know, and it just part of it. But this helps that. And it gives them that opportunity if they want to go on a date or they want to go to the movies or whatever. I'm all for doing that. I'm glad we're doing it.
Yeah.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.